The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stanbury, star of The Real Housewives of Dubai, entrepreneur, wife, and mother of three, once divorced and now remarried to a much younger man. Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury follows me as I live my life unapologetically and shows you that there is life after 40. I'm here to let you know that not only is there a life after divorce, but you have the power to make it your best one yet, just like I did. So buckle up and join me for the wild ride.
So welcome back to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury. So I took lots of notes over the last week. So thank you all for listening. And it's one of my famous solos. So here you are. I'm going back to my roots. So many of you have written in and asked me about divorce and co-parenting. You know, look, the truth. Everyone wants to know the truth. Look, co-parenting, no matter how well you get on with your ex, and look, there are degrees of getting on, right? I mean, I've just had my daughter's 18th birthday. So we all went out, and it was the first time that I actually met my ex-husband's girlfriend, which was, you know, obviously in the 5 years or whatever it is that we've been apart now, I've never been introduced to someone. I don't think the kids have, or nobody that they've ever mentioned. So I knew this was quite a big deal for him. So I wanted to make it easy. I wanted to, you know, he asked me out of respect if he could bring her, obviously. And actually, I actually think this could be the start of something amazing if, you know, I was obviously, my initial reaction was a lot of women to me obviously want to prove a point, obviously know who I am, maybe come into meetings feeling a little bit nervous or like that they have to make their mark. Maybe, you know, I didn't know what to expect because I haven't been in that position before. But I went, obviously, Sergio and I knew, and I was really excited for him because I felt like this could be the beginning of a completely new chapter in my relationship with my ex-husband and my kids. As most of you know, my view is divorce as a word doesn't really exist because, you know, once you've got children, you don't really have the luxury of fully divorcing somebody. You know, I'm watching it now, especially in the Middle East. One of my girlfriends just got divorced and she's going through the most hideous divorce I've ever seen in my life. Every time she gets her life back together, he whacks on another court case or fights her for custody, or she's not allowed to travel with the children. You know, if he doesn't do, she doesn't do what he likes, he punishes her and they're divorced. Like, you have no say, like who comes into her house. And then that really made me realize how bloody lucky I am, or we are, as an ex-couple, because, you know, no matter what our personal view was of each other, and, you know, trust me, I know and I take accountability that I didn't do this fully the right way. But as I've said very many times, it would be a wonderful thing to do it the right way. But what is the right way after so many years of marriage? There never is a right way. Nobody ever walks away going, well, that was the perfect ending. Because genuinely, someone is always blindsided, or someone, you know, isn't prepared or doesn't want to, or, you know, you didn't fight hard enough. It's going to upset the kids regardless. So I think taking all of those things into account, we did it the best way we could. I told you that we shared a lawyer, and there was a lot of anger surrounding my divorce, don't get me wrong, on both sides, I think, because I think by the time, as I've said many times before, women leave, it's really done. You know, there's no real way back because, you know, we've already thought about it. No woman jumps out of bed and just says today's the day just because they've had one bad argument, especially after the kind of time that we all spent in marriages. You know, that's why I get asked all the time by very long-term marriages. Like, there's a woman that's just asked me about 27 years. How do you know? There are degrees, right? There are degrees of what you want in life. And I think as we get older, and what I've understood and seen with all the women around me, regardless, is that everybody at some stage goes through a self-discovery phase, a phase where they, you know, I guess when you're in your teens, or not your teens, your 20s, and you get married and you have children and you do all this, you're on this roller coaster of just like, oh my God, everything's happening so fast. And, you know, you're all your friends and everyone's having babies together, and then you're holidaying together, and you're on this just like giant life cycle that you don't really get to think about you, who you are, because you're so busy trying to fit in with the Joneses, right? Everybody wants to have the same thing. You all have to have the bugaboo, the nice house, the husband that's performing well. But when you get to your 40s, none of this matters anymore. And it's really bizarrely like clockwork for everybody. It's across the bloody board. And I wish I could tell you it wasn't. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, this is coming. I have a ton of very wealthy girlfriends who have been in, you know, marriages and are doing exactly the same journey as I did in self-discovery. Some of them more so than others. You know, loads of people are now climbing mountains and doing ayahuasca and off, you know, on a wellness retreats and spas and meditating and sound bathing and going to Africa to be healed and all of these things. I hear the healing journey so much in my sort of age group that I've understood that, you know, we all need it. We all go through it. And what your healing journey and it, you know, again, looks like is up to you. I have friends that take it a lot more seriously than I do. And it's not that I don't take it seriously, but again, I'm much more, you know, this is how I feel. I've also understood over the years who I am and why I am the way I am, and, you know, what I'm prepared to change and not prepared to change, and whatever that looks like, which means, you know, for a young guy that's come into my relationship, that's quite hard, because I'm sure a younger girl's much more malleable than I am. I'm like, my way or the highway, take it or leave it, which is quite tough on him. But, you know, also it builds him, right? So like he can accept it or he can't accept it, you know, and also having a woman that knows what she wants, at least that builds a man that's going to know what he wants, right? I mean, okay, here's a typical example. Sergio has to jump out of bed and wants to download his entire bloody day or whatever he's dreamt about within 30 seconds before I've even opened one eyelid. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, like stop sending me shit and stop talking to me. I need a coffee or two before we even like engage in this. And, you know, then he wants a cuddle, then he wants this. And I'm like, no. This is just not going to work for me. And I'm really, really tough on it. It's not because obviously I know I'm lucky and that most women would love a man to turn over and want to give her a cuddle and do all this. But also, you know, at this stage, it's actually a physical need. It's not like, it's not just me being like, oh no, don't touch me. Just, to, you know, as a power trip, it's actually like physically through my fucking body. It's like a reaction, like get the fuck away from me. I need a minute. Like a minute. And I think, you know, I've understood my boundaries now. That is my fucking boundary. Along with, because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm the same. Because, you know, not only have you got to give the attention to your husband, but you've got you running the house, you've got your assistants, and you've got three children who are texting you all day long that also need attention. Like my son was sick last night, so he needed attention. Sergio managed to like smash his fingers in between two windows. And so they both wanted my attention. And I'm like, you know, I didn't give Sergio the attention he thought his fingers deserved. I mean, I'm very British, right? I was in boarding school half my life. So like if I had a boo-boo, I had to deal with it on my own. Sergio had a boo-boo. I asked to see his fingers. There was no blood. No skin had been removed. As far as I'm concerned, he's absolutely fine. Anyway, he went down to sulk for 3 hours. I hadn't even realized because I was watching a movie with my son. And that's what I mean. Those are my boundaries. If I had to like literally mollycoddle Sergio every time he had an accident, I wouldn't get anything done. You know, and I always laugh when he came to me, he didn't have a scar on his body. Now his body's like a complete mess. If he's not like mountain biking off some hill somewhere or, you know, closing windows, you know, it's just the way he is. So I set boundaries because I was with my son. Unless he needed hospital attention, I'm not moving. I think learning the boundary as well, because I made it very clear with Sergio when we went into this, that my ex-husband was going to be a very big part of our lives, obviously. And, you know, this winter holiday really made me realize again that I couldn't wait for, you know, my ex to have a really serious relationship, because I always went skiing with the kids and him. And obviously, it just doesn't work. The three of us, the three adults going with the kids, you know, it's not fair on Jem. It's not very nice, all of these kind of things. But I would love to have got there. And then the kids want me to go with Jem, which also isn't very nice on Sergio, you know, if I trot off for a week's holiday with him. So, you know, this will kind of break all that down, because if she's as fabulous as I think she might be, we can all go skiing together and she looks quite cool. So, you know, off we go to dinner. She's quite funny. So I say to Yasmin, you know, am I going to like her? And she's like, yeah, she's really cool, whatever. So we go to dinner. She comes a bit late and comes bounding through the restaurant and gives me a hug. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a great start, right? That's not like confrontational or, you know, difficult. And that was it. And it would just broke the ice. And it was funny from then on in. And it was nice. And I think the kids felt relaxed. And all of these things are as you deal with them and make them, right? I could totally see, and she got on really well with Sergio as well. So I could totally see us. I mean, obviously I don't see us all in the same chalet. I get that. I mean, I could do it, but maybe in a few years. But I do say that we could both go to Courchevel and take the kids and split them and say, okay, you know, like I'm taking the boys skiing today, you take Yasmin and do all that. And then, you know, then it doesn't become like this ridiculous thing right now, which is, you know, or however many holidays a year I have to do, because he takes them, then I take them, which means that we're doubling all the costs, which frankly, right now with building Bali and everything else that we're doing, I could live without. Let's take a little break from the show. And today's episode has been sponsored by NoCD. So, I mean, I guess we've all had relationship doubts that feel totally overwhelming. No matter what you try, you can't seem to work through them. Maybe you constantly ask your partner for reassurance or try to reassure yourself. But the distressing question about your compatibility, your connection, your attraction to each other simply won't go away. Did you know that this could be a form of OCD known as relationship OCD or ROCD? And many of us accept these behaviors as things that just simply happen to everyone we in relationships, and we brush them off as overthinking, but we shouldn't. NoCD provides effective, affordable, and convenient virtual OCD therapy that can help you feel more secure in your relationship and can help other areas in your life too. With NoCD, you can do live face-to-face video sessions with a licensed therapist trained in exposure and response prevention, ERP therapy, the gold standard treatment for OCD. NoCD accepts many major insurance plans, which makes your treatment much more affordable. So to learn more about NoCD, go to nocd.com and schedule a free 15-minute call with their team. That's nocd.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. Let's get back to the show. So, you know, that was, again, a big, big moment for us, I think. And it was a really good start, because I think he felt confident. He was really happy. He felt like, you know, proud. And, you know, I felt really happy. I genuinely felt happy for him. So, you know, again, I really see this as a positive. And I think a lot of women look at it the wrong way and think that the women are going to come in and take their role. Genuinely, I don't think they want the role, right? Who wants to be someone else's children's mother and take that away from them? I don't really see that. And, you know, my children are older, so there's not really a woman on the planet that can walk in and put her foot down at this point and say, you know, this is how life's going to be, because they just wouldn't take it. So I never really worry about that. I would like them to have a nice friend. I would like them to have a good time when they're with their dad. And if that, you know, and a happy dad is a satisfied dad, and a, you know, one that's also, you know, feels like his life has moved on and is, you know, he isn't looking at, you know, the way things were. And, you know, again, I think this is confusing for people, because looking back, we can all look back with fondness. Even now, I can look back with fondness. I wouldn't change anything that I really went through back then and think of it as in a nice way, but without regret. You need to take the regret out of life because, you know, and if your new relationship goes wrong for whatever reason, you can't have this terrible feeling of like, I shouldn't have done it, right? You were taken away and you felt a certain way for a reason. And I really believe that if you give into what the universe has for you, like you are prodded into the right things for you. Like really, the way that my friends and we all grew up compared to where I have ended up, you know, it can't be a mistake. How the fuck does that happen? You know, all my friends that grew up in Dorset are pretty much still there. I've lived a lifetime. I've lived all over the world. How did I end up in Dubai? How did I end up meeting Sergio one night in one place that I've never been in my life? Because I was pushed there. And I actually, my friend who organized that talk in Newport Beach, Katie, she's called Katie Morris, but Katie pushed me and pushed me to do it. I did not want to do it. I was so nervous and I'd never been to Newport. And I'm like, are you really sure they're going to be interested? Are you really sure I should do it there? Like, if that's not, and I kept trying to back out, to be honest. And so I really think that, you know, when the universe has, and you let go to the universe, it's all mapped out for us. So many things that I've given up on life, in life, have come back to me full circle. And, you know, I ummed and ahed about my marriage to Jem because everybody does, right? Am I doing the right thing? Maybe when you're 80, it gets better and then, you know, you reconnect with each other. And, you know, in those years, you're just so grateful that you stayed together because I look, my grandparents are still together. My parents are still together. Funnily enough, my ex's parents, they were divorced and remarried to each other. So, you know, I had really good role models in my life of looking at people that it had worked for. My grandparents were over the moon that they'd made it through to each other. I think my grandmother had never known another man. So those were my figures. It's not like I came from a broken home and went, okay, well, this is the most normal thing in the world. I didn't. But I think that, you know, once in your head you've broken it, it's broken. We can all go back and regret because life hasn't quite worked out the way we thought it would. Right. But again, I feel that that's your doing because I can't stress enough that when I got divorced, it was the worst time in my life to do it. Plus having, you know, the divorce, plus the children, plus having, you know, I was going through, as I said before, my court case. So, you know, then to be negotiating this and to have like to lose pretty much everything and not know where I was going to end up with a man that had moved to Dubai with, you know, no job here and no friends here certainly wasn't like this, like, oh, I'm jumping ship, you know, to this really like amazing life. I wasn't. A lot of you forget because you see what I've built now. But, you know, it came with a lot of blood, sweat, and fucking tears. Let me tell you, Dubai is a very, 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 very competitive place, right? It's dog eat dog out here. People come here, they want the jobs that you get. They want the life that you've got. Everybody talks here. You know, I've heard, I mean, apparently, I mean, I must be the world's best influencer. I got this house for free for being an influencer. I mean, well, I mean, you all heard it on the reunion, but it was just ridiculous, ridiculous. No influencer that I've ever met has got a house for free. But I mean, you know, thank you for thinking I'm that good. But, you know, that's what people do to break you down and to take away your wins, right? And some of the biggest wins in my life are the way, you know, that after all of this, after everything that Jem and I have been through, is to see him prosper and me prosper and to put it all behind us. We have never discussed it since the day we both left. Never, because there is no need. What is the need to open old wounds? We're never going to agree on what went down. We both know that, right? It's never going to make it right. It's never going to be okay in his eyes. You know, we differ on the way maybe I viewed the marriage or where he viewed the marriage, what we both did. At this point in our lives, we don't need to agree on it. We don't. We just parked it. And I think a lot of people forget to park things or can't let go of things. And you will never move on if you feel resentment, hate, or any of these things. You know, I can pick up the phone at any time of night or day, and I know he'll pick up, right? I don't need to worry if I need to tell him something. And at the end of the day, no matter what, and he's said it to everyone else, and obviously this doesn't mean, you know, you abuse that, but at the end of the day, we're family. You know, that is just it. You know, we'll always be in each other's lives because the children are always in our lives. We can't separate that. Like, you know, I'm sure if he ends up in another country with his, you know, new wife or whatever, that's, you know, you things get far few and far between. But we'll have weddings, we have graduations, we have all these things, and I want to say, to look forward to. And it was so nice, actually, having Yasmin's 18th together because, you know, and with our new partners. My girlfriend made a speech and said how proud of us she was for us as parents. And we could enjoy that moment together and look at Yasmin and like really appreciate, you know, my daughter's going to college now in September. She just got 5 conditional offers for universities, which is, I could not be more proud of her. And we can both look at each other now and say we did that. And we can high five each other because we're both in happy spaces, right? This isn't, it wasn't a sad occasion. It was really, really nice. And we giggled, we took family pictures and, you know, we took family pictures, just us. And then we took family pictures with our new partners and it wasn't weird. It was really nice. Of course, it's, you know, a bit weird to start with, but that's just, you know, normal. It's normal. And once you just relax and make a joke, the first joke and everything else, you take it out. I mean, these are the things you have to do. Co-parenting, there are always, always, you know, ups and downs, right? So my kids definitely play me off their dad because I'm, you know, a bit more of a pushover. I think it stems from my childhood, if I'm really honest. Like I actually weirdly, before we got pregnant, thought that I would be the tough one because I'm really tough in my real life with people and that Jem would be the pushover. And it just isn't like that. And, you know, I think sometimes he does resent me because he always has to be the disciplinarian and the one that, you know, when I can't deal with it, obviously I call him and he doesn't like always having to be that person. And I don't do it on purpose. It's just I've got 3 teenagers and anyone that's ever brought up teenagers knows that, you know, they don't really listen to you. And it's quite hard because in my house, they all gang up on me, you know, and Sergio cannot get involved. He cannot. It, you know, that is the part of co-parenting. And I think like we go out for dinner now and everything, you know, is nice. It's really, really nice. But I'm actually going to have a dinner now with my kids without Sergio. I'm going to go and take them out, just us as well. Because I do think sometimes there's this battle of like attention, you know, of who's going to win the attention from the boyfriend or the husband. Because, you know, at this point, I guess, you know, we have begun to live our lives a lot. And teenagers also, you know, they want you to be fully theirs. So that is a struggle that we will always have as co-parents, I think. But it will relax as age goes on. And, you know, as I said, Yasmin's leaving home anyway, got a boyfriend, and life becomes, you know, she's not going to be as interested in what I'm doing either, which, you know, I think we all know as we get into our teens and early adulthood, you know, and she's got her own apartment, that all of this becomes immaterial. And you want your mother to be happy and you want your mother to be fulfilled because mothers that aren't literally live with their children. They become their children's responsibility, which I don't want to happen until like I'm incapacitated in some way and then they're all going to have to take care of me. And I don't know and what's going to happen in the future with Sergio. And I've never, ever said I did. Like, you know, in my mind, we'll be together forever. But also, there's always a side of me that goes, well, you know, when I'm 70 and he's only 50, you know, maybe he won't look at me the same way, or maybe we'll renegotiate what that looks like. You know, well, we've set ourselves up as quite well as business partners now. So we very, very good at working with each other and sort of, you know, doing a lot of our stuff with humor. We do a lot of the battles that we need to get through with humor so that it doesn't end up too serious and that we don't fight too much, which we don't. But, you know, we bicker But I think going on in later life, everyone goes, you know, that's what holds women back with living their best life because they're worried about their old age. I would just really, really advise you. It's like my facelift. It's the best decision I've ever made. And I get so many people that go, oh, how are you not scared? And what if it went wrong? But what if it went right? And in my mind, don't know what you all think, it went really right. And I'm over the frigging moon. I'm so glad I did it. I mean, why the hell wouldn't I have done this? And that's how I feel about Sergio, exactly that way. You know, if I'd listened to every single other person, I wouldn't be with him because all ex-soccer players are philandering assholes. And he's a 24-year-old who, you know, will never be able to afford me and, you know, will never be faithful to me. That's what everyone assumed and told me, right? I don't need him to afford me, never did. But Sergio's quite resourceful, let me tell you that. He's resourceful and he's not lazy and we work very well together. So even if we're not, you know, building two different empires, which is what I think people think couples should do, and we're working very much together, you know, he backs me up, right? I needed that person regardless. And this is a person I trust. So you can't go into a relationship always distrusting or always believing they're going to leave at some point. Because if you do that, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Of course they will. Because you keep telling them that. You know, you're literally opening the door and saying, off you go. You know, and you can't do that. You need to just believe this is it. Whatever happens, you'll deal with. And I've learned in life, no matter what happens to you, we get through it. We just do. When I lost my business, I never thought I would recover from that. And the embarrassment and, you know, the chatter and whatever it was, I'm fully recovered and more successful today than I was then when I had my court case. And I didn't want to work anymore, didn't want to do anything. And I, you know, had to sell my art and all this. Never thought I'd recover from that. But I did. And I'm back here feeling invincible. I'm back here feeling better than I ever felt. I went to look yesterday at a new apartment to buy for rental. You know, I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping. I am so focused on my future and making sure I'm okay with or without my husband. And that is a beautiful way to be because no matter what, I'm going to have a great life, you know, and no matter what, knowing that how much I went through with my ex-husband, I will be able to maintain a very nice relationship with Sergio because Sergio has always given me respect, love, kindness, and you know, let's be honest, he's grown up with me, right? So, you know, he's very attached to me. He's very bloody attached to me. So I don't care what any of you say. He is not the person that's going to wake up in the morning, and I know this, and just run off with an 18-year-old and go and live his life. That's just not him. If anything ever happened, it will be done in a very different way. But I don't dwell on that because it's not my focus. What you focus on becomes your reality, and I've learned that. It is not my focus. It's your focus because these are the things that scare you, you the listener, you the person that have thought about leaving but never had the guts to do it. And it's not, again, I'm going, do it, do it, do it. Absolutely don't. It's, you know, this is only if you're not happy. And you need to understand if it's you're not happy because of you or because of what your husband and your life looks like, right? And that you want to change. Because if it's you, then don't get divorced and go and fix you. Because you will carry that into your next relationship and your next relationship and your next relationship. I know plenty of women where nothing in life is enough and it's not about their husband. There's nothing that that poor man could do to make them happy, even if he tried. And I think that's a very, very clear decision that you need to understand before you make such a big decision that affects everyone around you. I knew that I had just outgrown my relationship. And if Cem was really honest with himself, he knew that too. It's just that his love for his family outweighed his personal feelings, right? And also I think for him, you know, he's a workaholic. So, you know, he was always working. And so that, you know, the moments together were small and fun because they were family moments. But, you know, the connection from him and I, like if we had to go and spend a week on a private island together, I don't know what we would have done. I think both of us would have shot each other. And I think deep down he knows that. But again, we all wish and hope and grow up wanting to have this idyllic family for the rest of our lives. I respect him for that. And I respect him for holding whatever thoughts he has of me now to himself, because, you know, these are the things that he knows he doesn't want his children to hear. He doesn't want, you know, anyone to say later things that could impact us, you know, because we will get over it and we have got over it and we are in a very good space. And all his friends that are getting divorced now, because many, many, many more now, my God, always say, how did you guys do it? And it's not to say, as I said, we didn't go through a terrible time. We said awful things together. And, you know, sitting in front of lawyers was never fun. But we had one goal. And I think every time I got really angry or every time I was like, I want more, or, you know, thinking about me, I was like, okay, breathe. Breathe. No point fighting for more money if it's going to the kids. No point fighting if, you know, I'm going to spend more money on the lawyer fighting for the money. He's going to get it. I'm not getting it anyway. So you just have to be rational with yourself. When you're rational with yourself, you can kind of get through anything. And that's why I believe that I have become successful again, because I let go. I don't harp on any of it. I only look forward. You know, if I've lost jobs here, like, you know, contracts ran out and you're like, oh, fuck. And then, you know, somehow, because I'm only looking forward and, you know, I'm bouncing around and giving this positive energy, another one just arrives. Let's take a little break from today's show and talk about AG1. I first gave it a try because my digestion has never been its best. I've always sort of not been able to focus very well. Felt sluggish, my immune system wasn't supported, and I'm feeling very stressed with all the things I have to do in a day. But since drinking AG1 daily, I felt completely different. I feel so much in my daily health has changed. I've got energy. I've noticed I feel more relaxed. I can focus. And that's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create smarter and better ways to elevate your baseline health. So not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I love that every scoop includes vitamin C and zinc to support my immune health. I recommend AG1 to all my family and friends because it sort of, well, first of all, it has a team of doctors and scientists behind it. And even my parents have started drinking AG1 and they always tell me how much more energetic they feel. And they're, you know, reaching their 80s. It's been so easy for me to incorporate it into my daily life because they have travel packs. It's one scoop. I can put it into my smoothies and it's easy to keep it going. I don't forget it, which is so important. And so if there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I'm so excited to welcome them as a new partner. If you want to take ownership of your health today, it starts with AG1. Try AG1, get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/uncut. That's drinkag1.com/uncut. Check it out. Let's get back to today's show. You know, the affirmation, I'm abundant as fuck and money flows to me like magic. And it just does. You know, I have more money than I need. And I think, you know, no matter what, and we all go through, you know, I'm a small business, so I fund everything through this. You know, I've just taken on a CEO for Bust the Label, you know, and my products still haven't arrived. Got to pay for those, got to pay for the CEO, got to pay for, you know, packaging, Bali, buying an apartment now, like all of these things. I'm like, should I buy the apartment? You know, whatever. But maybe, you know, in 20 years, I've got another asset and that's going to pay me income when I'm old. So I'm like, fuck it, do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm taking all of these things and, you know, making my life an adventure, like a real adventure. And somehow it just all comes because I believe it will. I believe my relationship with Sergio is going to last. I believe that my businesses are going to thrive. You know, I'm talking more and more to people about entrepreneurship, you know, real estate over here, things that I never thought I would be talking about because actually I've learned them. You know, I've learned all the pitfalls from being here. I'm learning different businesses. I'm a sponge to things. I'm learning how to deal with relationships. That's why I want to start my, you know, retreats for women, because I want to shake women sometimes and go, you're your own worst enemy. Your own worst enemy. I get asked so many times how to find your soulmate. Well, it's not on your couch crying. He's not going to walk in unless he's, you know, Deliveroo. I don't get it. You know, and talking about your ex and like all of these things, the bitterness, the anger, the thinking you're entitled to things. So many women are entitled today. You're not entitled to jack shit. Why? Because you're pretty or because, you know, everybody else is. Stop looking at other people's gardens. Water your own. Stop it. You know, in my life, you know, I love my little house, but you know, people walk in and they can't understand why I'm so excited by my little house because they've got giant fucking mansions. Well, I could, you know, I've come from a giant mansion and I don't sit there going, oh yeah, this is a third of my giant mansion. I, you know, I've told many of you, and it's not me just trying to tell myself that this house means more to me than any of those did. Any of those. It actually takes me back, funny enough, just to the first one I ever bought when I was 19, I suppose, and I moved to London. My first purchase, because it's all mine. Look at it. Like I did everything. I'm sitting in front of De Gournay wallpaper. It's hand-painted silk. Like I chose it. I put it there. And you know, the man that owns this company is married to my childhood friend since we were seven. You know, everybody wanted to like put their mark on my house because it was my first house since my divorce. And it means so much. Like I look around and I think, you know, I'm looking at a beautiful piece of art by my friend Jessica Litch, you know, who you know, I started collecting. And after, you know, I had to sell some of most of my art. And like everything here has a personal meaning, you know, and people that helped me achieve it. You know, the girl that's always done my houses here because she was my friend since the day I landed, you know, And she made help me achieve this, you know, because she wanted it for me. My friends are so supportive and wanted me to have this life again. And instead of giving up and feeling sorry for myself, I've created, I don't care who you are, I don't care how rich you are. When you come into this house, you can feel the love, you can feel the support, you can feel the, you know, how much, I don't know, I'm so relaxed in it. I don't know if it's because I'm looking at a huge piece of amethyst over there that's sending out the waves. But, you know, Caroline Fleming from Ladies in London came to see me the other day. And she's like, I want this house. I want to get one just like it. Show it to me. You know, and my girlfriends all come over and just, it's just fabulous. It's fabulous. It means so much to me. I just really, really love it. I can't tell you. And I think that's another thing. I'm grateful. You know, I still have my house in Surrey because, you know, with interest rates and all of these things, it's total pain right now to sell. So we just rented it out. But, you know, it's there. But that house was just, you know, so much work. And so, and actually, I think that house was probably, again, the beginning and the end for me and my ex. You know, there were just so many factors of little things over time that wore away at us because, you know, we were young. We were so young. When did we buy that house? We were, I don't know, 15 years ago now, probably. I don't know. And we probably bit off more than we could chew with it. You know, nobody thinks about the running costs, the staff it needs, the mending it. You know, this is a house that I can have forever and lock up and go away or rent it and not worry about it. It's every room is used. It's modern. It's built. You know, it's just perfect. It's perfect. When the kids begin to move out, as Yasmin is next year now, I'll have two guest rooms already. Like nuts. It's a little TARDIS. I don't need bigger than this. And so no one's going to make me feel less than. I'm still going to walk you around like this is the Taj Mahal. Because for me, you know, no one can take it away from me. And again, to somebody else, of course, this house is massive. And, you know, you may have an apartment that you managed to buy. And I remember actually one of my followers, he sends me pictures of his new apartment that he just bought. Where was it? In America somewhere, anyway. San Diego, I think, or San Francisco. And he's like, like a one-bedroom little apartment, and he's changing the kitchen, and he sends it to me every day because he's so excited for me to see the progress that he's making, right? He never feels embarrassed to say, okay, you know, look, and I'm looking for a bed and this, because he's been following me for quite a long time, and before, you know, he didn't have anything. And I think at one stage he said to me he was living in his car. So for him, this is a palace, and I want to like make him feel super proud. So every time he shows it to me, I act like it's the best apartment I've ever seen in my life, because I get and I understand how important and house proud he is for him. You know, like it's like the day, you know, my girlfriend who owns this area came to look at the house. She's seen these houses. They were all built by her. I obviously changed mine, but like she walked around it like, you know, ooing and ahhing, like it was the best thing she's ever seen. Clearly, I know it's not, but like she did it for me, you know, like to give me that, you know, oomph, because that's sometimes what we all need. Do it. It, you know, build each other. And I think, you know, sometimes readjusting your, well, not dreams, but readjusting what you think you want in life is very, very important, because what you think and what we need are two very different things. Very different things, you know, and it's the girls that think they need like 57 Birkin bags and the cars. And actually, I did a debate yesterday. Should you marry for money on British TV? No, absolutely not, because you can make money. You can't make love up. You can't make connection up. And when you're in love, you will make money, right? I know that my ex will probably become uber successful now because he's in love and he's happy. So the happier he is, he's going to go out and he's going to make better deals. He's going to, you know, do what he does. And that's what Sergio and I have, because Sergio and I bound around town and we do our business and we do so many things. And people like to say, you know, we hustle every day, but you know, hustling is the joy. Hustling is like, you know, it means that one of our things can suddenly pay us and we don't have to worry for the next 6 months about work, which is great. Like that's a position that we have found ourselves in, that if, you know, you just hustle sometimes and do something quite unexpected, that suddenly the windfall comes and you're like, oh, okay, well, I can sit back, which means that you're more relaxed when you go into jobs and you go and you know your worth. You can say, you know, like yesterday, one brand approached me and they said they wanted, you know, to work with me. And it was a really decent amount of money, don't get me wrong, you know, but they wanted four reels. And I said, you know, that's what I get paid for one or two. So no. But it was a big lump of money. So obviously it was like, I still wanted it, but I was like, no, you know, the old me would have gone, yeah, okay, I'll make it work, but no. So I think it's really important to know your worth and say no to things. I mean, now I'm quite lucky because I'm at the stage where, you know, when brands approach, they sort of, I've got, you know, agents and managers to do all that for me. So I don't have to do it. But I think in life, that's just indicative of what you need to do, is know your worth and know your boundaries and understand that co-parenting is all of these things. It will never be easy. I don't care how relaxed my children are with Sergio. There are still bumps in the road. You know, Yasmin is approaching 18. Her friends are all around. They think it's cool to make fun sometimes. Yasmin likes to poke him and then he'll poke her back and then all hell breaks loose. The same with Zach and Aaron. You know, Aaron doesn't really do it, but, you know, Zach will have a good go. It just deteriorates, right? But there's nothing I can do about that. And, you know, I think the reactions of it, I've told, you know, Sergio has to become a little less sensitive. And I think my children, rather than any of you guys, you know, rile him more because he so wants them to respect him more or to give him the respect that he requires, because he does so much for them. He does, you know, and they don't see it. But I try to explain that they don't see what I do. They really don't. Like, I mean, you know, I'll just get, I don't know, Zach wanted a pair of new trainers yesterday. Then Yasmin wants her hair done by some top salon tomorrow. Then the other one wants, I don't know what he bought, an off-white shirt. They have no clue, because add all that up together. I mean, they just expect, but they're not understanding that the other one's asked for something, the other one's asked for something, and the other one's something. It is what it is, right? So, you know, they're just children, and children just don't think about things like that. And that's just, you know, co-parenting will never, ever be easy, because you're never, you know, you didn't give birth to them, I suppose. But I mean, I don't even think it's different for parents, because parents, you know, of the children go through it too. It's just that we're able to fight back and the co-parent cannot so much. And, you know, you just have to keep calm. You have to keep calm and sometimes remind yourself they're the child, you are the adult. Therefore, walk away, you know, and that's life. Nothing will be perfect. I'm going to leave you again with this one piece of advice. You cannot control a situation. You can control the way you react to it. Thank you for listening to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored. Thank you for listening. You can catch my new episode of my podcast every Wednesday. Please don't forget to follow so you don't miss any of the action. I want to hear from you, so leave me a rating and a review. Follow us on social for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information at Uncut and Uncensored by Caroline. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.